Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by BrandHook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
My guest for Chapter 7, Part 1, because I'm going to do Chapter 7, Part 1 and Part 2, is Christian Taylor Wood. Christian is an acclaimed photographer who started his career working in London's infamous cult magazine Dazed and Confused. His latest showing, High Scrollers, is a series of portraits of Australian social media identities. Hi, Christian.
Hello.
So we're going to do part one of this particular story. Basically, we're doing the whole podcast series is about closing the gap between what consumers, how consumers behave and what business are actually delivering. And we've proposed seven ways that business can now close the gap. And one of them is around storytelling.
Yep.
But with particular focus around story doing, not just storytelling. But I thought it'd be really good to talk to you about storytelling and how you use pictures and images and visuals to really tell great stories.
So this is going to be part one of four because I talk so much that you're going to have to split it into four different episodes.
Totally, that's fine.
Because I'm a storyteller.
You are a storyteller. So we're going to talk about storytelling part of that bit and get your view on how brands can tell great stories.
Cool.
So I'm going to ask some questions. Are you ready?
Ready, fire.
So tell us a little bit about your latest collection of pictures first.
Okay, so my new series is called High Scrollers. And High Scrollers is kind of a play on, obviously, high rollers and scrollers. What are you looking at?
Just seeing if it's recording.
Oh, right. Sorry. Where was I? Yeah, so basically, yeah, high scroller, high roller, scrolling. You know, it's kind of a play on the words of how much we kind of scroll through images and how fast. And it's just a technology that I'm just fascinated. I think everyone's really fascinated with social media at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I know I am. I remember sitting behind this kid, he was like sort of early 20s on a bus. And I was watching him on Instagram. And this guy was going like lightning. It was like flying through the photos. Stop, comment. And it would stop like, it would never stop for more than like 2 seconds on one photo. And I was like, my God, and what does it all mean? And I know so many like brands and stuff now want to associate themselves with social media. But how much do people actually take in? Like how permanent is like one post on Instagram? I was looking at a friend of mine, Lauren Windsor's post. Lauren Windsor's a tattoo artist and she's got a very particular style. It's very kind of cupcakes and print and Disney princesses. And it's kind of cool and edgy at the same time. Almost like kind of punk princess, I think you'd say. And she's got thousands of followers. And she's got a blog as well. And she's just, like, getting flown all over the world all the time. Miley Cyrus flies her out to LA about 4 times a year to give her a tattoo. Katy Perry came out to get tattooed by her. And she's super young and she's doing so, so well. And she really inspired me. Anyway, so off the back of that, I decided to, you know, I'm always thinking, what can I photograph? What's my next series, my personal project going to be about? And looking for inspiration. Now, I'm a portrait photographer, so I try and link all the stories together somehow. And I thought, wouldn't it be really cool to basically do a series of portraits of almost like, what is this new fame all about? It's like, you had the Hollywood stars before, and it was like, we were obsessed with Hollywood stars, and we had our crushes, but you don't really know too much about them. You only see what you see in the limelight, whereas kind of social media stars, they're putting their lives out there on the line. Like you see everything, whether it's true or false. I mean, obviously they're kind of projecting their best selves. And so I just thought it'd be really interesting to get them, and instead of seeing kind of what they do and how they project themselves, I kind of take an element of what they do, shoot them in kind of a semi Hollywood glam but with a bit of a modern twist on it, and do my own take on basically what they look like. So that's how I came up with this portrait series. And so it's very stylized, creative portrait series, I guess.
So the story you're tell me if I'm right or wrong. So the story you're trying to tell through those images is almost, it's kind of almost the irony of it, isn't it? That you're taking them out of their kind of comfort zone.
Well, they want to project.
And how they want to be projected.
And into my world.
Yeah. And your version of it.
Yeah, and how I see them. Yeah.
So how do you plan your stories? Like, so, I mean, you obviously got inspiration from your girlfriend, who's one of your friends, who's a tattoo artist. I mean, how do you normally get inspiration to tell stories? Where do they come from?
Different things inspire me. Usually I find it quite hard to be inspired in Australia. I think that there's kind of, sorry, Australia, but, I always get really inspired just after I go overseas.
Yeah.
And I see...
Is it because we're a bit boring?
Well, it's like definitely the risk-taking factor is way down there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was really surprised when, like, I go to Singapore quite a lot. Like, I always try and stop over there on my way to England because I really enjoy Singapore. I just remember being so wowed by the advertising that they would have up, the posters. Because, you know, I'm into photography, but these days, where do we look at, like, kind of still and static imagery?
Yeah.
And advertising and magazine covers is kind of where we see it the most.
Yeah.
And in Singapore, my God, they were doing some really cool stuff. Like, these were beautiful artworks. They were actually kind of exploring photography, utilizing it, and making standout images. I think probably what makes England so great when it comes to culture is because most of, like, the amazing music and art all comes out of hardship. Mm. Out there. I mean, I remember my ex-brother-in-law's Jay Joplin, who owns all the White Cube galleries, and he met like Tracy Emin and Damien Hirst. And he said to me and my sister once that he envied our tricky upbringing, our kind of dark past. He didn't have that. He went to Eton, and he would love to be an artist, but he didn't come from that dark place. So there was no creative kind of buzz. It came out of, like, I guess it came out of us. Why me and my sister are both very creative, because... Yeah, we came from some tricky stuff, and we.
Yeah.
I don't know why that makes people. But.
So on the back of that, what would you say to brands? You know, about building stories, because to our clients, we talk about how you've got to go into your heritage, or you've got to find something within your history.
Yeah.
That actually is the reason, your reason for being, and in that nugget, there'll be something fascinating for you to work with.
Well, I think in brands and advertising, I think we're having the biggest shift of how we ingest, like, advertising, what we see, since TV first came around.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got social media now, and that's changing everything. I mean, you look at the company We Are Social, who are now like an advertising company just for kind of social media and stuff. People aren't really paying attention so much to TV. I mean, people watching stuff on their laptops. So... with social media, there's new ways of storytelling and attacking things and doing things a lot different. So I think that's it. You just need to know kind of what things are happening. Be very aware of what your surroundings are and, like, who your customers are, because customers are just changing now. I think bigger kind of, like, the bigger commerce companies seem to be kind of dwindling a little bit, because smaller companies can now get so successful by utilizing social media and doing different avenues and doing things differently. I mean, a couple of companies that I think kind of stand out to me for being able to do this. Red Bull is one. Red Bull, I mean, they're just like a giant octopus tumor thing, reaching out to every avenue and promoting, like, greatness and creativity and adventure, and they do it through huge on social media and videos. They've got their own channel. And another one is Adidas promote, like, everything they do is just really cool.
But they're both brands are very single-minded, aren't they, about the message they want to communicate?
Well, I think that's kind of their structure. They kind of know they know their brand, they know what it is, and so they're finding the people they want to go with. And I mean, Adidas is hilarious because it's like, I know Run DMC really wanted to do their own line of Adidas shoes, because Run DMC obviously wore the tracksuit and the shoes all the time, and Adidas said, no, we don't want to be associated with hip-hop and, like, black culture and stuff, we want to be a sports brand. And they started dying, and then suddenly go, hang on, maybe we will do the Run DMC thing. And so now they've, like, latched onto this culture, and everyone's gone, yay, that's what we wanted in the first place. So, I mean, again, I think it's always great to associate a brand with something. Be strong in what you do. Red Bull does sports stars and extreme stars and they tell their stories and their backgrounds when they promote them. Young up and coming people, Adidas the same, it's the street culture and things. They know what they're about and so they cater to that market.
So your advice would be understand who you are, know your consumer and take some risks?
Yeah, absolutely. And then through that, take risks, absolutely. I mean, if you're just doing like KFC style commercials on TV, don't even know who pays attention to that stuff. Mm. Put a bucket of chicken upside down on your head. I mean, seriously. So yeah, just be creative and make people, like, you need to make people stop and kind of go, what the fuck?
I worked in advertising for a long time.
With my sister.
With your sister. And we would always hear from our clients, you know, can you make my logo bigger? Or, you know, our brand colours are blue. Or, you know, and I know the creative directors I worked with were very frustrated by that experience because in the same way they would say, here is a story that's obviously communicating the benefit of the brand but in a visually different and exciting way.
Does no one watch Mad Men? I mean, you look at like the Cadbury Gorilla. There's no chocolate bar in the Cadbury Gorilla, but everyone knows it. Everyone remembers it. Brand love, brand loyalty.
But how do you convince clients to do that then? Because I wish I knew.
I don't know why people stop doing that. It's great.
I think one of the things we found out through this whole kind of thought leadership piece is that a lot of marketeers feel very frightened about this new digital transformation. And I think when people are fearful, they don't take risks.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know, they don't really understand how the consumer's behaving, which is what my, you know, brand talk's all about. We teach people about how consumers are behaving. I don't think they really have a handle on that. I think there's an amazing stat, you know, that's mentioned earlier in the podcast, about 74% of senior execs around the world feel like they don't have their finger on the pulse in terms of how people really behave.
Yeah.
And when you look at how, you know, everyday people are kind of interacting, you know, just with all types of media platforms, it is quite chaotic.
Of course,
In the old days, you know, we would put an ad on the telly and you'd go into, you know, compare them and then you'd buy them. But these days it's chaotic.
Yeah.
And I think that frightens a lot of marketeers. So just to finish off in terms of, you talked about a couple of brands that you think do good stories, so Adidas and Red Bull. Is there any other places that you think brands could go to for inspiration or any other products that you think are really amazing that can really help marketers understand this idea of storytelling?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think We Are Social, great how they're kind of an advertising company that are really attacking that one avenue. And again, they do Adidas. So they're coming up with great little narrative stories. They're finding people to marry to their brand. One thing I noticed, I don't know if this is slightly off topic, but I really wanted to go, I'm a big superhero nerd fan. So I love Marvel and DC, all the stuff they're putting out. And I really wanted to go to the Australian premiere. It wasn't really a premiere. It was like the first showing of Avengers 2. And my brother-in-law is actually one of the Avengers, so I'm trying to get tickets. I couldn't get a ticket. Then I found out a lot of my high schoolers I just photographed, they're at the... That's why I can't get a ticket, because they're inviting social media people, because they're going to hashtag it. It's going to be seen all around the world.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like finding out what's... Just like look at the directors. Look at the directors and the creative. Like, go to like smuggler.com, like in America, and have a look at the directors on their books and what they're doing, because they've got like the best directors and you know, people like Toby and Pete, and just find stuff that you love, find out who made it, and go down a rabbit hole.
Do you think it's very different from your Dazed and Confused days, where we are today?
Well, I mean, I was there. I was at Dazed and Confused in the very seminal years, like that. When they didn't have any money, so we were doing dodgy stuff to get paid.
Yeah.
All the computers in the office said property of LCP on the side of them, because Rankin stole them all from the college. We had to lock them up at night in case the bailiffs come. And so, yeah, I think it's probably a bit more legit than that. But yeah, people just had a passion back then. I mean, you had Face magazine and Dazed and Confused, and I mean, I guess there weren't too many outlets like that at the time. And
you're pushing boundaries from, you know, from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's not even like a magazine like that these days. Right. I mean, there's some cool magazines coming out with a cool angle, but there's definitely not a mainstream thing that really is like smashing boundaries and rocking it hard. Because people say there's no money like in magazines anymore, which is weird, because the front cover of a magazine, I hear, is the number one advertising space. More people pass the cover of a magazine than anywhere else. I think it comes back to we're just becoming this kind of beige world. No one's pushing envelopes, and the creatives that came out of London, most of that came out of the dark times. I mean, some of the best music came out of, like, you know, Thatcher's Britain. So maybe we just need some shitty times.
Maybe we need a depression.
We need a depression or a war.
Oh, Christian, on that note. thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Christian. Next week, we have Dan Gregory, the CEO of the Impossible Institute, and he's going to talk more about telling stories, but with the angle of story doing, not just storytelling.